As we begin today, today is the third Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming. The whole thing about Christmas is the celebration of the Christ, that He came the first time. And we celebrate that knowing that He's going to come a second time. And we're looking forward to it. The first Sunday, we celebrated the prophets. Over 600 prophecies fulfilled in detail about the first coming of Jesus. Last week, we celebrated the angels. Seven times, seven different times, angels spoke as messengers of God, bringing the story of Jesus. And today, we light the shepherd's candle. And here's the story. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited world. This was first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was on his own way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You shall find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us now go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So he came in a hurry, found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Praise God. Today, third Sunday of Advent, the shepherds telling us part of the story. Lord, we give you this day, we give you this time. I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives and how you love us, Lord. We celebrate this story, Lord. I pray for our children next door as they are just wound up, Lord, as they should be at a birthday party, celebrating the birth of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, you'll speak to us big people in here. Let's hear your word. Let's worship you in spirit and truth. We give you this day. We pray, Lord, you'll bind the enemy of our souls that he did not have access to us or to this building, this property, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and that today we can praise the Lord with freedom in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You agree with this? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand.
So I know most of you know Miss Betty passed away a couple days ago, but she liked to come in about the second song. That way she didn't get run over by any kids or anything. But she liked to sit right there where that wreath is, right in front of my brother born to a Jamaican mother. And, you know, y'all know that old strongman competition David does on the weekend? You know, you see those guys, they get to the point where they're just so exhausted with what they've exerted that they just fall out, you know? Miss Betty did that every week. She came. What a Herculean effort to come be with the body of Christ, you know? And every year at the Jesus Loves You banquet, she would get me every time. I would go up to her and I would offer her water or tea, and she would say the same thing, and I would forget every year, and she'd say, honey, I bathe in water, which meant bring me some tea. I never figured it out. But she was, you know, faithful doesn't cover it, but man, she would exhaust herself just to come be with us for like 35 minutes, you know? And I was like, man, I don't want her to fall. I don't want her to hurt herself, you know? But man, only with Christ could I ever have a relationship with someone like that, you know? Only through Christ. I mean, she invested in me. You know, I love you. Good to have you. Good to see this building full again, man. She pulled us through that transition from, you know, meeting at Jacob G. Smith to this building. And like all of you guys do that. And that's what she represented to me. And, you know, I'm not going to get to be here for the celebration, but I mean, you know, Joel and Marilyn, Masako, it's just those little words of, hey, I appreciate you being here. I like what you're doing. Jesus loves you. Like that, you don't get that anywhere else. A 91-year-old telling a 34-year-old that, and that flows through me to the kids I work with and all that. But man, you know, what a Herculean effort just to come be with Christ. It kind of makes me feel ashamed sometimes about my effort. But.
Amen. Miss Betty's service is tomorrow. And some of you, I realize, that don't have email, you didn't know that she did. Betty Benoit passed away on Thursday, and 91 years old. And it's funny in her, the things that she left for her family that she wanted in her service. She had me listed in there. She wanted me to do service. And Brother Bob, and then there was a blank after Brother Bob. But see, Brother Bob's already beat her to heaven. So they've had happy reunion already. But it'll be at Baker McCullough tomorrow at noon. Visitation is 11 to noon, and then the service then. And she'll be buried out here at Hillcrest East, Wheaton Street. But that Sunday before, the last Sunday she was here, you know, we laid hands on her and prayed for her back here. But the Sunday before, when she came up here, Audrey and I were standing over here, and she came up for prayer, and she, here's the first thing she said to me. She said, me and Audrey said, I wanna recommit my vows today. And it got me for a minute, and I thought, Miss Betty's not married. Anybody. Yeah, she's married to Jesus. That's what she meant. And makes you think about a lot of people. Singing these songs makes me think about a lot. Y'all been taking a trip down memory lane with the Christmas carols, remembering where you were when you were listening to some of these. And it was the Christmas of 1986. We were up in Virginia. And Audrey and I didn't know that Megan knew. She was 3 years old. Didn't know she knew all these Christmas carols. But my aunt came to the piano and started playing. And Megan just walked over there and stood beside her. And just at the top of her lungs started singing all the Christmas carols. Audrey and I were looking, where'd she learn these songs? But she had been picking them up. Why don't you try letting God ambush you this week? And during this season, let Him speak to you. We've been in a series entitled, What If... ... This Christmas. And the title of today's message is, What If You Believed? We're going to read part of the shepherd's story again. I want you to pay close attention to the details about the shepherds, because as we're casting a vision going forward into 2018, we're looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. We're looking forward to all that He wants to do in our lives. And this year, as we were praying over this, what we would be preaching and teaching at this time, we asked God to speak to us, and one of the things He showed us is give a message of hope that goes beyond December 25th. You ever noticed how you get to December 25th And what happens? 98.7, at midnight, what happens? Man, they start playing that stuff I go to sleep to. And so I change it off on one of my presets. Might be your favorite station, I'm sorry. But why not take it into the year? The same hope, the same inspiration, the same excitement. Man, if you could bottle what's going on next door right now with that happy birthday Jesus part, I mean, you know, they're riding about this high. I watched a number of these kids as they arrived this morning. They ran in there. They ran in there. Oh, man, it's the happy birthday Jesus party today. They're excited about that. I remember dreading to go back to school after the holidays were over. Can I get a witness on that? Yes, sir. I thought, oh, it's going to be so, so boring. But what if you had something even better to look forward to? What if you could look past and take that excitement into the new year? And that's what these messages have been about. The hope, the inspiration. And today we're going to look at the shepherds to get some of that inspiration. Back to the Luke passage that I read just a moment ago. Beginning in verse 8. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood there before him. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Sign. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased." When the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing which happened that the Lord's made known to us." So they came in a hurry. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby that was lying in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying, praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. Let's pray. Lord, we pray you'll take this message today to our hearts. Lord, we'll be obedient. We'll listen to what you have to say to us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, what if you believed? What if you had faith? What if suddenly that became a defining characteristic of your life? You're a man or you're a woman of faith. You're a young person of faith. Well, let's define what biblical faith is. Number one, it's not mere intellectual assent. The Bible says this about the devil, that he believes and trembles. Does the devil believe in God? You better believe he does. He believes there's a God, and he acts as if there is a God. He takes action in accordance with that knowledge. That's intellectual assent. Secondly, it is always in tandem with action. True biblical faith is always attached with action. You know what a person believes by how they spend their time and how they spend their money, don't you? You can look at those. You can look at the calendar book and the checkbook and decide what or whom they really believe in. Think about it. Because, you know, what are you willing to put your life on the line for? Or what is just stuff that, hey, it's neither here nor there? Think about those Christian martyrs that are dying on a daily basis in the wake of ISIS right now. Have you seen those pictures of some of those towns where they go to the town square and line the town square with crosses and bring the Christians out and crucify them? That hadn't made any of our network news yet. How many of you have seen those pictures? You know what I'm talking about? Well, four of us. It really happened. Those people really believe, don't they? Because action is attached to their belief. We were talking about earlier today in our teaching time at 9:30 that in a Hebrew mindset, you can't separate the two. You can't say, I believe in this and do this over here. They go together. It's like a man saying to his wife, I love you, but he's got a girlfriend on the side. How's that work? Well, it doesn't work. Because he doesn't love her. If he loved her, he would be totally committed to her. Number three, it's not partial, this faith we're talking about, but it's rather totally complete. It's an abandon. It's letting go of. We were at Logs Landing. How many of you know where Logs Landing is? All right. Ebenezer Creek. I was a kid, and it's black water there, moving through there kind of swiftly, and they had this little platform that was built up in a cypress tree. It was right next to it, and kids were climbing up there and jumping off the platform into the water. Well, I got up there to the platform and sprouted chicken wings. Come on, Dusty, jump! Jump! What did I have to do? I had to let go of the tree, let go of the platform, and into the water. That's faith. That's the definition of faith. So, got that definition behind us. Let's look at the story about the shepherds. Let's look at the process of the story with the shepherds and how they exercised their faith. Number one, it always starts with God coming to them and not in reverse. You see, we think that, oh, I've put my faith and trust in God, and that's because I had a good idea about that. Is that the truth? No, we're responding to something that God has done. We're responding to Him speaking to us. In the story, God's messenger, the angel, again, one of the seven times in the nativity story that angels come, comes to the shepherds with this word to them. The light shines around, the glory of God was there, and the angel says, don't be afraid, because what would have been your first response? Man, I'm getting out of here. Who is this? Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be to all people. And then they're remembering. Because what's the story that all the shepherds, all the people of Israel had heard their entire lives? Who was coming? The Messiah. The Savior is coming. Can you imagine what these guys felt like? Which brings us to our second point. They didn't rule themselves out. It would have been easy for them to have said, oh man, this is just some kind of apparition. There's no way that the angel is coming to us. Why would an angel come to shepherds? Look at their position in society. When a shepherd comes into town, what precedes him? Somebody said it, smell. Some of you that when you got your kids home after they hugged on these animals the last few nights of the live nativity, what did those kids smell like? They smelled like that live animal, right? And so the shepherds were a lowly class of people. It's interesting that in the nativity story, the magi come later, but here you have both ends of society and everything in between that God is speaking to. So, A part of this is realizing, hey, God's actually speaking to us. He's speaking to me. I'm speaking to some of you. I'm looking at some of you that think that God will never speak to you. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know we've all had those times in our lives when we thought, well, man, God is not going to pay attention to me in every way. Well, listen, He paid great attention to you when He breathed the breath of life into your lungs and you became a living soul. When you were conceived, He paid great attention to you. He set you apart. That you are an individual. You are special in His eyes. Look at all the ways He has protected you and He has brought you to this time. I'll never forget sitting in that little tiny trailer that Lenny Moore's daddy had on the property down at Shelman's Bluff. We'd go down there to camp, and we rode our motorcycles down there, and we loved to shoot our rifles. And we'd been shooting down there. They had an old dump down there, had plenty of old bottles and cans you could shoot all day long. And we got back, and we were having our supper. We grilled us a couple of steaks out on the open fire, and we just got finished with that, and we were cleaning our guns, and he was sitting right across from me. And he had a Marlin semi-automatic. I believe you could put 18 long rifles in there. And he's sitting right across from me. I mean, I could have leaned over and touched him on the forehead. And he leans that rifle down, and he's about to put it in the case. As he leans it down, his finger went on the trigger, and a bullet went right over my shoulder into the cushion behind me. Yeah, it was a pregnant pause there. What just happened? God just saved my life. Because over a few inches and it would have been right through my head. God must have had a purpose. I want to ask you, does He have a purpose for you? Look at all the garbage you've gone through in your life. Yet you sit here today. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. Don't rule yourself out. The shepherds didn't. You don't need to. Third thing. They listened to the message sent through God's messenger. They recognized, hey, this is an angel. This angel is speaking to us. They listened to it. They listened to the details of it. Now some of us, we'll see God doing something and we want to get around it. But we want to stand at a distance so that we just get a little bit of the glow of what's going on. That's not the shepherds. They were diving in. They listened to the message. They listened to the details. Number four, they showed simple faith by their actions. What does it say? They immediately got up and went to where Mary and Joseph and the child were. They left. They took action. That their simple faith meant, I'm going to take action in my life. I've quoted this to you many times before. Mahatma Gandhi said, I would have become a Christian had I not known so many Christians. The rap on us is we say one thing, we do another. You looking at me? Eyeball to eyeball? We say one thing, we do another. That's not biblical faith. That's not God-like faith. That's just intellectual assent. Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, He rose on the third day. But where that makes a difference is when ISIS has got a gun pointed at your head or a cross ready for you in the public square, and they say, say that again. Number five, they didn't procrastinate. Bam! They did it. They acted. They went to that manger. That was it a grotto? Was it a lean-to? Was it something carved out of a hill? I don't know. Did it look like this wonderful thing we have sitting out here that the wind leveled 2 hours before we would have the first night of live nativity? That's right, yeah. Brian calls me. 10 minutes after 4, Pastor, you're not going to hear this. Then why are you telling me? The crash is flat. Those are his words. It's flat. I don't know. Did it look like? Probably not. They probably didn't use that air stapler to put those palm fronds around it, you know, and that kind of stuff. But you get the idea. There's simple surroundings. There's no room in the inn. They're out there with animals. And she's laying Jesus in an animal feeding trough. But the shepherds didn't procrastinate. Bam. They were on it. You see, a lot of times, what happens when we hear from God and then we procrastinate? I'll get to that tomorrow. What happens? He's wanting you to do it now. Number six, they proved the truth of what was announced to them. They proved it. They took the angel at his word and then the heavenly host that came. Old friend of mine up in Middle Georgia, she said, those angels weren't singing. It says that they said, I still believe they were singing. They were singing out there. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, good will to all men. They're singing glory to God. And the shepherds get there, and this shall be a sign to you. What was the sign? Remember? What did he say? What was the sign? You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a feeding trough for the animals. I don't think it's probably that. I don't think Bethlehem was filled up with babies, newborn babies that were lying in a feeding trough wrapped in those cloths. So they got there. There he is. They proved the truth. They took God at his word, believed the messenger that was sent by God. And by the way, do you have messengers in your life? You know what? Some of us, I think most of us, have entertained angels unaware. They've come and spoken to us. And we didn't know it. But he has a lot of other messengers that come and speak the truth to us. As I remind you often, in the Old Testament, he spoke through a jackass one time. He can speak through anything he wants to. Number seven, and the message became the method of their lives. Let me read it to you again. So they came in a hurry, and he found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this Christ. Now, if you're reading that in Hebrew, this Christ would say about the Messiah. They made known to everybody they had seen the Messiah. Now, where does that put them with the scribes and the Pharisees of the day? Man, hey, if the Messiah was coming to the earth, he's going to come to us first. We're the religious people. Look at you. You're a stinking shepherd. You can't even read and write. You have to have somebody to read the scripture to you. Can you hear the pride? But here God announces that to the lowliest of people. And their faith issued into action in their lives. And all who heard this, verse 18, wondered at the things which had been told them by the shepherds. So they've got a buzz going on. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Imagine, she's there, you know, she just got through birthing this baby, and this is a teenage girl. All this stuff that is happening, and all the stuff's going through her mind, I'm sure she's thinking about the fact that, well, you know, I'm just a spouse to be, I'm just engaged to Joseph. We're really not even married yet, officially. Child's being born. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. You see the simplicity of that? This message, just like Brother Dane was talking about last week, message becoming your mission. It became their mission. It became the method of their lives. So let's wrap it up. Let's cast personal vision forward. Brand new year. We're sitting here. What does this mean? Well, that's good information. But How does that impact your life? First thing is, question. Isn't it time to get real? When you say the shepherds, they got real with the story. They got real. It changed their lives. Now granted, I wonder if any of them lived long enough, you know, because we're talking 30 years from that point. They would have been old men when they see Jesus coming out in his public ministry. But I wonder if some of them were around when he was 12 years old and they come back to Nazareth with a story of losing Jesus, you know? Remember when he was in Jerusalem? I wonder if they heard those stories. I wonder if they were around for that. I wonder if some of them made it to the time when he has his public ministry. I wonder if they're out there when the feeding of the 5,000 takes place. I just wonder how they were telling the story for years. I've seen him. I saw him when he was born. You see? They were real. They were real. It didn't mean they became famous. Listen to me. There is a cult of fame in our society that is damnable. And it's in the church. And it says, if you really serve Jesus, that means you're always going to have a big platform and a bunch of people are always going to be listening to you. Not so. That's a lie. Yes, that's going to happen with some people. But listen, there's not a whole lot of Billy Grahams out there. But there are a lot of us who will be nameless except in the Lamb's Book of Life and in Jesus' eyes. But nameless in this earth who are serving the Lord faithfully and doing what God has called us to do. We got to get real with that. And this pie in the sky, by and by stuff that, oh, you serve Jesus, everything's going to start going right in your life. No, sir. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we're going to run into opposition. But at the end of the day, He's going to be Lord. In fact, this story doesn't even teach that, does it? Because what does one of those angels' messages comes to Joseph, and what's Joseph got to do after the Magi come? They got to leave town. They got to run away. They got to go down to Egypt. It fulfills Scripture, by the way. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem. He came out of Egypt, and they called him a Nazarene. How could all three of those be true? But they were. Number two, your life could be different in 2018 than it is this year. It's up to you. You get to decide. If you're going to take God at His word, you're going to start believing what He says about you. Start disbelieving that garbage that the evil one has dropped on your doorstep that says you're no count and there's no joy, there's no fulfillment that's possible for you. That you are damned to be in this kind of life in this earth. That is a lie. God has better for you than you could ever imagine. It's time to start believing that and practicing that and acting on it. Go quickly to where God called you, where the message comes, just like the shepherds did. And finally, you have influence. Don't paw the ground and tell me that nobody looks at your life. You are preaching what you believe by your life every day. They're watching you. People that you don't even know are watching you. They're seeing a message portrayed to them. And what is the message? What if you started to really believe? Whew. The wonder and the glory of Christmas is fabulous. We get starry eyes, and anything can happen. Hey, man, where would Hallmark movies be? There got to be 150 of those suckers out there. It has the same thing. It's the guy, it's the gal, and man, by the end of the movie, they're in love and they're on their way to the altar. It happens. I mean, but where does that kind of hope come from? You see, the basis of that, it's like my next door neighbor who was an English teacher out at Winds Forest High School. I was talking across the fence with him years ago. He said, you know, Dusty, said, there's a Christ figure in every story. Because you see, that picture is the picture that governs history. The Christ who came and died in your place on a cross. He lived a perfect life. He's born of the Virgin. Lived a perfect life. Went to a cruel Roman cross. Died in our place. Was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended back to the Father, sat down, work completed, and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you hope. I will give you peace. I'll put love in your heart. I'll teach you how to love people that you think are unlovable in your life. I will change your life. Man, what happened to him? I've watched it happen thousands of times. What about you? Let's cast the vision forward. Let's see what God will have for us. Brother Dane's in Kentucky. Brother Rick is in Washington. And Brother Dusty is right here. We're going to open the altar. Me and Miss Audrey will be here if you want to pray with us. But there's plenty of room here. You do business with God today. All right? We clear? We cool? Understand? Lord, we invite you now as this time, this ministry time, come and speak to us. Let us hear your voice. Let us respond accordingly. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never received Jesus in their life, may this be the day of salvation, the greatest day of our lives, Lord, when we come to know you. And Lord, for so many of us who have known you a long time, may this be a day where you restore the joy of our salvation. Let us today begin to believe you again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Look this way, if you will. Thank the Lord for His work in our lives today. I want to send you out in His power, His presence, and all He's got in store for you. Don't let the devil cheat you out of that, the world system. Get God's view. Christ sees you for the rest of your life. And some of you think, I'm too old for that. Well, tell that to Abraham and Sarah. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you're going to have a child, but guess who's coming to dinner for the next... don't put anything past God. So good to see all of you here today. We're glad to have the greater Barnes clan. David, the Lord bless y'all as y'all go to Disney this week with all of those people. Make sure you bring back the same number that you took down there. And we'll pray for y'all. And may you have a great blessing this week. Look forward to seeing you during the week. And you know what I'd like to see sometime? What's that saying we have about Walmart? Every trip to Walmart ain't to get stuff. God's got appointments for you at Walmart. You know, this is going to be my prayer, that I'm going to find some of you this week out somewhere, and I'm going to get to see you ministering to somebody. Praying for them, encouraging them, something. I mean, and it could be like Lisa Tobe was stalking us in our neighborhood this week, slipping down the lane and all, didn't think we saw her. But, all right, let me send you out. Lord, thank you for today. We pray now that you'll send us out with the authority of you, Lord Yahweh, our Father. Send us out in the love of Jesus, you, Yeshua, the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That pneumatos agios. Send us forth now. In Jesus' name, amen.